The news at 11 o'clock. Fastamai, good evening. I'm Marion Kenny. Results in all but one of the island's local authority elections have been declared. We await news from Peel. First off the blocks this evening was Laxey in the newly created Garth district, where 18-year-old Liam Miller, the youngest candidate to stand anywhere tonight, topped the poll and by an impressive margin. The teenager took the day off school to tour the polls and encourage his supporters to go and vote. He's joined on the board by Julianne Pinson and Peter Kinnish. Turnout in Laxey was 44%. After the result, Liam said he was delighted.
Very thrilled. Over the moon. Well, moving on with the future now, you know, young blood in. So let's see what we can do with some young ideas and where we can move forward with them. So it's the first ever, I think, 18-year-old, but also the first time we're moving forward into the Garth Joint Initiative. So new faces and, you know, new ideas all around, really.
The wind of change has blown in Castletown, where all but three of the previous Board of Commissioners were re-elected. Just over 40% of the ancient capital's registered electors turned out to vote. The returning officer announced the results shortly before 10 o'clock. Those elected are Jimmy Barrow, James Cubbon, Colin Leather, Jeremy Ludford Brooks, Richard McAleer, David Parnell and Carol Quine. Afterwards, Jimmy Cubbon said the people had delivered a vote for change.
Castletown has had its low years and there's a lot of negativity around the town, and I'm really excited. I think there's a few things about to happen. The likes of Costa coming in is the kickstart Castletown needs, and I want to see these streets busy again. I want to see this town busy. I want to see events on in that square. The square's great. It's had its critics. I think it's great. It's clean. It's fresh. Let's get Castletown started again.
The lowest turnouts in the island's local elections have come in Douglas, where two wards were voting today. Both were declared together. In Hills, victory went to council leader David Christian, who polled a massive 967 votes, well ahead of his nearest rival, Lib Van's Claire Wells, with sitting councillor Carol Malarkey in third place. Derek Lavery in fourth place misses out. Just 17% of the district cast their votes. In Victoria Ward, sitting councillors David Ashford and Rayna Chattle retained their places in the council chamber, with newcomer Kevin Oliphant-Smith in third place, pipping challenger Falk Horning. Afterwards, David Ashford successfully defended his seat in Victoria, which saw less than 14% of people turning out to vote. He said there are a number of factors that deterred people heading to the polling stations.
Yeah, I think there's a multitude of factors this time. You've mentioned two of them there. The weather today has been absolutely horrendous. Personally, I'd like to thank anyone who came out anywhere across the island to vote today, because looking out of the window, I'm pretty certain there were some people who thought twice. Like you say, the House of Keys elections are coming up in September, and I think a lot of people will be keeping their powder dry as well for those. Also, to be honest, I found going around the doors, certainly that a lot of people weren't upset about local issues so much. They tended to be more upset about national issues.
And I must give you a correction to the turnout in Hills Ward of Douglas. It was originally given as 17%, but the returning officer corrected that to 25.8%. That's in Hills Ward in Douglas, the turnout. Patrick's first local authority election in 20 years saw drama tonight, with a recount required. There was the slimmest of winning margins. Fifth place Richard Jones beat Timothy Neal, the only unsuccessful candidate, by a single vote. The other winners were Robert Anderson, Roger Banks-Jones, Adrian Christian and Geoffrey Gelling. In Port St Mary, the nine winning candidates from a field of 10 are Richard Ashcroft, Alan Grace, Michelle Haywood, Robert Hurst, Christopher Kinley, Alexander Merchant, Andrew Fair, Ian Skelly and Bernadette Williams. Former Commissioner Rebecca Sinfield was the disappointed candidate. In other news, Manx cycling star Peter Kenyuk has apologised after stepping into the British cycling sexism row on Twitter. This week, the technical director of the sports governing body, Shane Sutton, stepped down over sexism allegations. Today on Twitter, Olympic cyclist Emma Pooley accused the sports governing body and Sky of setting up a road team for men for the Tour of France without any plan to create a women's team for the Giro d'Italia. Kenyuk then tweeted back to ask why Sky would support a race he claimed nobody in the UK had any idea about, and told her to stop being self-centred. He then temporarily suspended his account on the social networking site this afternoon, after users reacted angrily to his comments. Further afield, the acting Chief Constable of South Yorkshire Police has offered to step down just 24 hours after being appointed, following public anger over the Hillsborough disaster. It's after it emerged Dawn Copley's conduct at a different force is being investigated. A search is underway for a missing crew after a fishing boat sank off the coast of Pembrokeshire. Coast Guards say the vessel got into difficulty near St David's Head this afternoon. And 11,000 staff at BHS have been paid this week and will continue to receive wages as a priority payment. Administrators for the chain store say they're working to stabilise the business. That's the news. I'll have a full roundup of the day and the evening's news at midnight.
Why spend on petrol to shop? Leave the travelling to ShopRite. Quality and value delivered to your local store, island-wide daily. The Nation Station, Match Radio.
You're listening to Manx Radio's Local Authority Election Special with Beth Espy, James Davis, and I'm Roger Watterson. Kath Turner is with us. Kath, you're a Liberal Bannon member, and there are one or two Liberal Bannon councillors and commissioners about. But what do you think that the Liberal Bannon party would bring to these local elections? They seem to have had a very low-key operation this time.
A low-key operation. Well, I think they've been careful to select the people that they think will do a good job. So quality rather than quantity. What can they bring? The principles that Liberal Bannon adheres to are transparency, accountability, and a fairer society, and a push towards sustainable economy where people and businesses can thrive. So what can they bring? I think they can bring a coordinated view as to in certain areas where there are policies that we have in common. And I think overlying that is the principles that the party espouses, those of transparency and fairness.
Do you not think that those are very in common with most of the candidates?
Well, I don't hear many candidates going around saying they don't want transparency and they don't want to be fair to people, but delivering that's a different thing again. Certainly, I do see it more manifested at the local authority level than in central government, and that's with honourable exceptions to people around the table. What I see at local authority level is people who give of their time, and we've heard from people here, very selflessly, many, many hours per week, without the what some would see as comfortable salaries that some central government, some MHKs are on. And the only reason to do that must be because you want to be of service to your community, and that I find very heartening. I don't perceive that to be across the board the case with MHKs, and I don't perceive that to be the level of trust and respect, I think we've spoken about this earlier this evening, that we'd like to see between central government and local authorities always. I accept that there are moves in place to put that right, that will take some time, but at the moment I certainly don't think that local authorities always feel that they get the level of respect and trust that they deserve for the efforts that they put in and for the knowledge they have.
Do you think that issue of the fact that local authority members are not paid has anything to do with the low turnout figures?
No. No. None whatsoever.
Do you think they should be paid?
I think there's an argument you could put forward, but then you'd have to change the whole system. But as it stands, I can only speak from experience, all the members on the Ramsey board do it because they want to do it. Mm. For me, after 8 years, the biggest reward I've had is when you've done something privately to help somebody because they didn't have the knowledge, and they come back to you and say, thank you, if I'd only known that, I could have done it myself. But those are the rewards in doing it.
The problem is, though, Nigel, is that there aren't enough people who clearly just want to do it for the sake of doing it, and that's why there were so many unfilled seats and no contests at this time.
No, I think it's further than that now. It's because we are being thwarted in being able to help and do things for the reason.
Who's thwarting you?
Central government. I was saying, when we go back to what I said originally, there is more ambition to look after your things. We talked about planning today. You know, is it sensible that very expensive planning officers have to consider whether a satellite dish should be put up there? I refer back to the government's own statement. Those in the local area have the best knowledge of what should be done, and that's where it lies.
Turner.
And I think that's a really interesting discussion to be had. We heard a view from David, which undoubtedly holds true for some people, that as activities are devolved down to local governments, why would people voluntarily take on more work than they've currently got? And that will be the case, certainly for some staff, maybe not for commissioners. On the other hand, people saying, well, they don't want to be commissioners because what power do they have? I think the majority of people go into service in local government because they do want power is probably not the right word, but they want the tools to be of service to the community. So they're not all power-crazed madmen or women, but they do want to be able to influence things for the benefit of their community. And so in most cases, they will willingly accept that additional work, provided it's properly resourced. I can see that it can create burdens for the staff within those authorities, well, though. But
I spoke to you, Nigel Dobsell, some time back on this subject, and you said that you were concerned not just about all the other things we've been talking about tonight, but you were also concerned that it was not just interference from central government, but it was their attitude to local authorities.
I think so sometimes. The question was just asked, do local commissioners need to be paid? I don't think we need to be paid. I think we need to be valued.
Yes.
And one of the things government did 3 or 4 years ago, which caused a lot of rumblings under the scenes, was when they looked at the expenses. About 12 or 13 years ago, I think, the expenses were set at £30 a meeting, and that wasn't touched for a period of 9 years. Government then put out a consultation document saying, we think it's time we change this. Shall we continue to pay you your £30 a meeting? Shall we upgrade it by the rate of inflation, which would have taken to 45 quid or whatever it was? Or shall we pay you what we paid statutory boards, which was 70-something or other? Just about every commissioner I spoke to either said, leave it at the 30 or upgrade it by inflation if you want to. They came back to us and they didn't do any of those things. What they did was they scrapped the fixed allowance and put us on £7.50 an hour, which, to all intents and purposes, cut the expenses we get by 50%. Now, let me be clear. I'm talking about cutting the £600 a year I used to get to £300 a year. We're not talking money. It's not the money. But we came away from that thing, which is not valued. You know, I'd rather they'd turn around and said, look, we're not going to pay you any expenses. You're doing the job for the community. I'd have been happy with that. But to cut it in half, I thought, was churlish. In my own authority, we did a calculation, and the total expenses of our board comes to 0.3 something pence a year on the rate. You know, so it didn't even save any money. You know,
Phil Gorn,
you need to be valued rather than paid.
You're not valuing your commissioners?
I was hoping that I could have just crawled under the table because I'm obviously getting the flack here. I mean, I would like to think that members around the table, having seen the way that we're operating now in the department, would think that the Department of Infrastructure values them. But I do regularly hear colleagues in central government slagging off local authorities, undermining local authorities, saying that they're not worth being there, you know, all that kind of rhetoric, which I don't think is particularly helpful. And I do acknowledge the point, which is why I've been engaged in the process, that central government underestimates the value of local authorities, and we need to do more to break down the mistrust that has developed over decades. We need to recognise in central government that local authorities can play a really important role in delivering the services that we are trying to deliver, and perhaps not delivering as effectively as we could be if we would more actively engage with and trust local authorities.
Could I highlight one of the problems I've seen over the last 8 years? Quite often when an issue comes up, the minister or the member will come along with his team and you'll sit down and you'll debate it and you'll agree some way forward, to be based upon some kind of minute produced by the minister or member's team. When you get those minutes back and you don't see the minister again, you see the team, it bears no relationship to the meeting that you've had. It's totally different to the minutes you've kept. And that's what you fight all the time.
And I hope that is starting to change.
It is.
And
it
certainly, going back to the point I made at the start there, that was something that really unnerved my officers, was the fact that I was prepared to go out to meetings without having a clear understanding of what I was going to come away from the meeting with. Now, my view is if we're going out to talk to people and genuinely consult and work with them to try and improve the service, then I shouldn't already have a fixed view as to what that's going to be. Obviously, I'm there to represent the taxpayer and the taxpayer's interests, but as I have also been saying regularly in all the meetings, taxpayers are ratepayers. Ratepayers tend to be taxpayers. So, you know, we're all representing the people of the Isle of Man, so let's make the system work
collectively. Can I
just say,
I'm not accusing everybody that works within government to be like this. And I've tried to put myself in the mind of those that have done it, and they are usually fair-minded people. And the conclusion I've come to is they see their jobs under threat. And so it's a natural reaction to protect their jobs, to keep them. And that fundamentally, I think, is the problem here. We had more jobs for people to do, not within government, that added to the wealth of the island, this problem would start to diminish and go away. But there is a great... I mean, Alan Bell talks about it, you've talked about it. There's a silo mentality. You actually find silo mentalities within departments, within the silo. I mean, I've got examples I've seen recently where the left hand in one department doesn't even know what the right hand's doing. So there is this intransigent to do it. And I'd say over 8 years, I've seen so many of these meetings we've had. We've gone away saying that was good, we've made progress, and then you get something back.
Yeah,
biomass was one of the great examples.
I think, again, a lot of what you say I would agree with. I think one of the problems that we have in trying to reform any structures is that natural resistance from people who are worried for their jobs. And I can fully understand that. That said, if we do the reform properly in the way that I think we've been engaged in over the course of the last 2 years... where we're not coming out with harsh rhetoric saying what we need to do is scrap this and start again, and what we need to do is this, or you know, with the fixed view before we've even engaged in the process, I think we can give more reassurance to staff that there will be time for them either to be redeployed if they are to be losing their jobs, or they can do something else that's needed, which perhaps there isn't the time at the moment to do because they're busily duplicating work that's already done by other officers in other places. So I think having a more collaborative approach without having piling in with fixed views is a far better way of making
it. If we could all work together, the whole island community, and have, say, a 10-year plan where we got to the stage where we want to be, and then the pressure will be off everybody.
And our plans tend to be very much driven on, I've decided we need to do this, so we're going to have to do it, as opposed to, this is what we want to achieve as a people, this is what we want our nation to look like in 10 years' time. I think if we started off with, should the Isle of Man be like in 10 years, and then worked down from that, we would do better than starting off with policies, and then after you've added the policies together, that's what we're going to end up with in 10 years' time.
Two words that I could sum up what most people that have talked to me over the last few weeks and months about the government here, they are reactive rather than proactive. Right. And that's what they see goes on all the time.
Right. Now, we're just about to go to a break in just a minute or so. So let's take a look at one or two more of these uncontested people and the members that have been elected as a result. In Jerby, there are four sitting members were all re-elected. Thomas Bampton, Simon Bampton, his son, Sandra Kerrison, and Grace Garner. In Lazare, 4 for 5, Andrew Brew, Vivian Quain, Arthur Ratcliffe, and Julian Tier, all sitting members. In Maloo, 4 for 5, the sitting members were Barbara Brereton and Bob Pilling, joined by Dewan Drinkwater and Janice Brew. And in Maroun, 2 candidates for 5 seats, and the sitting members are Alex Toohey and Alison Lynch. And in Michael, a whole new board, and some of them, from the photograph I've seen, look quite young as well. That's Jason O'Neill, Stephen Debnam, Michael Neary, who was a commissioner before, Carol Mello, Matthew Deal, Andrew Berry, and Kerri-Anne Best. A few more to come yet.
You're listening to Manx Radio's Local Authority Election Results Programme. We'll be back in just a moment.
Small business owners, if bookkeeping, payroll and paperwork is eating up your time, get a helping hand from Nicola Bowker Accountants. Nicola Bowker will release you to do what you do best. That's run your business. Call Nicola Bowker today on 861 271.
harnessing the elements, conquering water, fire and metal. There's only one team, the Men of Metal at A&B Metal Fabrications. For exterior gates and railings in ornate steel, stainless steel and glass. For interior projects including balustrades, handrails and staircases. For commercial and private commissions, whether large or small. Visit A&B Metal Fabrications at Hills Meadow, Douglas or call 623-918. If you want it in metal, make it A&B Metal Fabrications.
What? You want me to throw another ball? Go on, then. We all love our faithful friends, don't we, boy? That's why we go to Milan Vets. They're the only island vets offering a monthly practice plan that covers all flea and worm control, annual vaccination and examinations. Call 674-076 or visit your local Milan Vets in Douglas, Peel or Castletown and ask about the Milan Plan. You and your pet will be in safe hands at milanvets.co.uk.
So, how is it going with your sleep now you've got those fantastic Spectrum windows in, Geoffrey?
Fantastic. I can't hear the traffic, the dawn chorus doesn't wake me, and as long as the missus doesn't snore, I'm getting a great night's sleep thanks to these new Spectrum windows.
Oh, the insomnia gone then, has it?
Aye, but I keep getting these awful dreams.
Like what?
Well, I dreamt I was chasing Kate Moss.
What's awful about that, you say?
I couldn't catch her.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
It all started with a journey. The 1953 Humber Supersnipe World Tourer. A unique car custom-built for the new Queen Elizabeth's Commonwealth Coronation Tour. Specially converted for the Queen and Prince Philip, right down to the sunshades fitted to protect them from the Australian heat. This custom car was flown and shipped all around the world. Come and see for yourself.
A car. A story. A passion. Discover unique cars and motorbikes with stories to uncover at the Isle of Man Motor Museum in Jerby. Visit isleofmanmotormuseum.com.
Welcome back. This is Manx Radio's local authority election results programme. Still waiting for the results from Peel. Taking a little while. Must be quite exciting out west, as always, I should say.
Yes, but if you have a look at how many members were standing and how many seats, there's quite a mathematical set of calculations there. Not difficult, but complex. And we only need a recount when there's a vote or two between them. And it could go on quite a while yet, I think. Maybe not. We'll have to wait and see. 13 authorities are going to have... Sorry, Nigel?
There was a posting on Facebook this afternoon, somebody guessing it would be 1:30 in the morning before they got the result.
Oh, good-o.
If there was any... Yeah.
do we have a home to go to?
Yes.
13 authorities with by-elections to come, Phil, and it's likely, probably, that more candidates might come out of the woodwork this time.
Yeah, and actually I think this is going back to some of the points about only having 3 weeks between declaration and elections. That it's a bizarre one, this. I've known by-elections for local authorities when they weren't able to fill all their seats to start with, you then find there's this huge interest developed for the one or two remaining seats. So I'm hoping that will happen, but that again... is something that perhaps we need to do a little bit of research into. Why is it that the follow-up bit of the election seems to be more popular than the one that people should be standing at?
Could it be that
the
people think that those who are about already will automatically go back in? They don't know that they're not standing anymore, and now that they find that they're not...
There certainly could be some of that, I think there's quite a lot more work. As Mr. Thomas, who obviously was in the first part of the programme, has this wonderful little phrase about decision-based evidence-making. And I fear that is what happens rather a lot in government. So we haven't really got a lot of evidence as to why it is that people do stand, why they don't stand, what the electorate think about local government. Perhaps we need to do some proper market research to better understand what the people really are saying, because we're speculating around this table. Nobody's done that sort of research, as far as I'm aware, certainly not in recent times, and I think that could help certainly a new administration.
Well, you and Chris both put quite a lot of effort into it in trying to call the faithful to prayer, didn't you?
Yes, we did, and I suspect that perhaps as the process continues and more and more, it becomes more and more obvious what we have been doing, then things will change. I certainly hope that that will be the case. But, you know, you've got to bear in mind it was only 12 months ago that we started doing real transfers of services. There's an awful lot of confusion even amongst commissioners as to what was transferred to them. I think it was pretty clear in our letters, but I still get a range of bemused local authorities writing in saying, well, what exactly did this mean and what does that mean? So it's possible that as it becomes clear and people realise just how much control local authorities are going to get over their areas, that will change.
So what will happen if the same thing occurs again and there just aren't enough people?
Well, certainly in the areas which don't have sufficient numbers to form a board, the department has the ability to appoint members. So we don't automatically come in and appoint members. So obviously in, I think it's Merown, is it Merown and Balaff are the two authorities that currently aren't quorate with their the members that have stood.
I think Merown was actually at 2:30 this afternoon. They filled their board.
Right, okay. So Balaff then remains with only one, and I think they need to have three to be quorate. So if there's a call for more people to come forward and there aren't sufficient to make the board quorate, at that point the department can appoint somebody.
Where would you get those people from?
Well, we could get them from pretty much wherever we like, from what I read of the legislation. And we could be quite wicked, couldn't we, to the good people of the Laugh if we chose to, but certainly there's no intention of that from the department.
So you wouldn't automatically put in somebody from the administration?
Well, we could appoint anybody, and I think what we would need to do is think who would be the most appropriate people to do that. What is perhaps a little frustrating in relation to some of the northern parishes is that I do know that that there had been a move to try and bring some of the parishes together, possibly in a similar move to the Garth initiative, but for various reasons that didn't happen. I know that there has been a lot of talk about that in the northern parishes, and perhaps that's something that they may wish to consider.
Jed Power?
If you just think about what Phil's mentioned, we're basically covering the cracks for a system where we're trying to cater for 150 representatives, and the bottom line is there isn't the appetite or the need for it now on the Isle of Man.
We've had some more comments into the studio. Feel free to text us. We'd love to hear from you this evening. 166177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Just a couple now before we go to the news headlines. In Ramsey, if more members that didn't stand again had said they weren't, we may have had more candidates, but we have a strong new board, which I am proud to be part of. That's from Eric. And there's also a tweet saying, 86% of voters in a Douglas ward couldn't be bothered to vote. Really? I'm generally shocked and appalled. I think the sad thing is that nobody was that shocked really in here, because it's really been the trend.
Yeah, and it's disappointing, absolutely. And it demonstrates to me that we need to be looking far more into this than just, oh, well, let's create four more Douglas-sized authorities to see if we can resolve what people say is apathy. I don't think it is apathy. I think it's disillusionment, and we need to create a new political system to make this work.
Kat Turner, how much do you think it is about the image of politics here in the Isle of Man, which, to be fair, hasn't been great recently?
It hasn't been great, but with specific reference to Douglas and the wards that we're looking at, I have to say they're funny old wards with a lot of wealthy middle class, but also a lot of flatlanders and people who are on the electoral register for reasons other than intending to vote. So, for example, I've talked to a lot of people who said the only reason they went on the register was credit ratings, so that they could get utilities and phones and so forth. And those are people that could be mobilised. We need to get other people onto the register as well. So the demographics of the place, if you've got lots of folks living in flatland, maybe incomers who don't feel that engaged, that can be a big reason for them to be on the register but not actually voting and we need to get stuck into that.
So we've been talking a lot about voter apathy in the studio here. If you've got any suggestions as to why you think people aren't more engaged, let us know. 166 177. You can email studio@maxradio.com. You can also go to Facebook or Twitter. Still waiting for that result in Peel, but now it's 11:30. Time for the news headlines.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your legal needs. Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shore Radio Vanin. This is Manx Radio.
The headlines at 11:30. Good evening. All but one of tonight's local election results are in, and there have been a few surprises around the island. In Garth, the island's youngest commissioner was elected to Laxey Ward in the shape of 18-year-old Liam Miller. Patrick, meanwhile, required a recount to separate the bottom two candidates. A single vote was enough to eliminate one would-be commissioner in the parish's first local election in 20 years. In Castletown, voters rejected all but three sitting candidates as the board there slimmed down from 9 to 7 members. The capital marked the lowest turnouts of the night. Victoria Ward saw just 14% of electors show up to vote, while in Hills Ward, only 1 in 4 bothered casting their ballots. The only outstanding result still to come is in Peel, where 12 candidates are battling it out for 7 seats. In other news further afield, the Labour leader says there are very grave concerns about the language used by Ken Livingstone, which led to his suspension from the party. The former London mayor said that Hitler supported the establishment of a Jewish homeland. The new acting chief constable of South Yorkshire Police has offered to hand in her resignation after being in the position for just one day. Dawn Copley took up the role after David Crompton was forced out of the job following public anger over the Hillsborough disaster. It's emerged her conduct is being investigated at a previous force. Prescription drugs were found with Prince when he was discovered dead in his Paisley Park complex last week. It's still unclear if the drugs were prescribed to the singer. And in football, Liverpool have a lot of work to do in the second leg of their Europa League semi-final with Villarreal. They lost 1-0 in Spain, with Adrian Lopez scoring the only goal late in the game. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with a full roundup at midnight.
Man Benham Advocates, for all your general and commercial legal needs. Call 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Manx Radio's Local Authority Election Night programme with me, Beth Espy, and Roger Watterson. We are just waiting for the Peel result. We're joined in the studio by a host of guests. We've been discussing all things to do with local authorities, and we'll continue to do so until we get that result in Peel. We were talking before the break about why there was so much apathy, if we can call it that. The lack of voters, apparently, according to one texter.
I think we were talking about something different to apathy, disillusionment, and that's quite a different thing. I don't think it's necessarily the fact that the electorate are apathetic. I think that they are perhaps disillusioned with the way the system has worked. And I think most of us were talking about that. You might have been talking about apathy, but I don't think we were.
I just wonder whether that's just you trying to put a rose-tinted view on it, almost, because if people were just disillusioned, then there wouldn't be that sort of feeling that actually there's no point in going out, because what's it going to change anyway?
No, I don't know. Certainly the conversations I've had is that people are disillusioned about the way that the system works.
Is there much of a difference between disillusioned and apathetic?
Yeah, I think there is. Apathetic means they don't really care one way or the other. I think most people do care. They do care about their lives and the way in which government impacts on their lives. So, yeah, I think there's a big difference
between now and September.
Well, text-ins suggest that the lack of voters may be because of there not being an electronic way to vote. That was something that was touched on earlier. A lot of people have internet access now. There are people who don't, true, but maybe we should be catering for those that do and getting those people who are probably the ones who aren't actually going out to vote. But we have had a text in from somebody asking, who should people contact if they want to stand in by-elections for their local authority? I'm in Onchan and would be willing to stand.
Yeah. I know the government website has details on it, but also if you go to your local clerks, the clerk in Onchan will be able to give you all the details that you need.
You know, Nigel, you talked earlier on about you forecast the knife of the Night of the Long Knives here in September with the existing members of the House of Keys. That
not all the existing members.
Local authority elections in other countries, such as the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. are often used as a barometer for the general election or used as a protest vote to give mm-hmm. the current government a shot across the bows. Mm-hmm. But these type of local authority elections here, with absolutely no party structure, can't do that, can they? So we can't really take these elections into account.
There's a blunt answer to that, because I asked that question to a few people, and most of them said, but the trouble is the government's not listening. But they will in September.
This election is not going to do that, is it?
They're not listening. That's why they're not bothered about tonight. But they will be bothered in September. But we'll see.
I don't know. Look at some of the winners tonight. These are locals that have challenged the local commissioners about transparency and information that's been revealed. And perhaps it's an appetite for what we've got later on in the year.
Mm. But is there a danger there that if too many of the existing and experienced members lose their seats and inexperienced members come in, we will eventually, very quickly in fact, because politics can't have a vacuum, we'll get a government that is out of political control.
But are two wrongs make a right then? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm just asking, what are the risks?
Well, there's always a risk in anything in life. But what most people are telling me is they're fed up with the current status quo. They want to change.
What does out of political control mean?
Well, decisions being made, things being passed. This goes back to this delegated responsibility thing. Mm. I think Phil probably knows what I mean here.
Yeah, I think it's a very important point. Again, very subtly made by Roger, but the change is going to happen whether the electorate want it to happen or not, quite frankly, because I know a number of long-standing politicians are going to be retiring. We've already had a number of names put forward of people who aren't going to be standing again. So I think to a certain extent that's going to happen anyway. Certainly in relation to Council of Ministers, it is highly likely that there will be only one or two ministers who will have more than 5 years, or one or two ministers standing, let alone whether they get elected or not, who have more than 5 years ministerial experience. Now that may or may not be a good thing. It may be, as the deputy speaker of the Dáil once said to me, that actually the more experienced that you get is the less likely you are to change the system, because you start getting familiar with the system, and once you're familiar with the system, you actually start to become quite romantically attached to the system. Fortunately, I would like to say for me, I that hasn't happened yet. I still feel that the system needs to change, and I feel radical reform is necessary. But the experience has its good points, but it also has some negatives.
But it doesn't matter how little experience you have, you're there to carry out the will of the people that have voted you in.
Absolutely.
The technicians behind the scenes are the ones that can tell you how to do it.
We've had a text in from Jackie who says the public is disillusioned because every single time the public has tried to engage with government, they've been treated with contempt. Look at preschools, toilet tax, children's centre contracts, Crown Post offices. Roman Comyn was a disaster. The next round of public meetings were invite only with Comyn's agenda. We are not respected.
I think that's the issue of going back of trust, isn't it? Do we actually trust people to carry out what they say they're going to carry out, or do they end up inevitably just going with the flow of things that the civil servants tell them are the only things they can actually do in reality? And I think to be a strong person in politics, then it probably means you're going to have a pretty rough ride. And I think in the end, people settle down to a cozy relationship. Yeah. And I think if candidates are prepared to stick to their principles rather than actually going along with the flow, I think we see a quite different set of keys and decisions made.
And actually, that's one of the issues there in relation to one of the few things that experience probably does give you in politics is an ability to understand how to avoid being led by your civil servants. And that's not necessarily a bad reflection on civil servants. Civil servants will fill a policy gap if the minister or the politicians involved in a particular area are unwilling to create the policy, then the civil servants will step in. But I think, again, the point about government not listening, I think, is a very good point. I don't necessarily agree that government hasn't listened, but it's very obvious that the communication hasn't been as good as it might be. I think some of the unfortunate and difficult decisions that have had to be taken, perhaps we should have done more in terms of communicating that and allowing people to understand why, you know, the complicated or the complexity of the decision that's required. It's not just as simple, we are having a toilet tax or we aren't. If we aren't having a toilet tax, then what are we going to tax instead? What are we going to cut instead?
Couple more comments. And the Clerk to Jerby and Balaf Commissioners, John Quayle, has been in touch. Vacancies on Balaf Commissioners have been filled. Nominations closed on Tuesday and four new members were elected. Gillian Dixon, Jason Henton, Stephen Grant and William Radcliffe. In Jerby, nominations closed yesterday and there was one vacant seat and that was filled by John Clark. And we've also had another text in saying, personally, I wanted the weather forecast. Please do that since you didn't do it at 11 p.m. Thanks. Apathetic and bored from Maloo.
Right, well, just before we go to the break then, just let me give you three more of these local authorities who've got members that have been straight through unopposed. City members Rob Collister, Derek Crellin, Robert Turton and Catherine Williams were all elected to the Onchan Commissioners, and with a new member, Christopher Quirk. So there's two seats yet to be advertised for a by-election. In Ramsey North Ward, six candidates for six seats. City member was Laurie Hooper, with Eric Corkish, Andrew Cowie, Juan McGuinness, Luke Parker and Wilfred Young. Ramsey South, five candidates for the six, so there's a by-election to come. Patrick Ayres, Huard Benevit, I think it's Huard Bevan, William Hankin, Albert Oldham and Michelle Quayle. Well, there's just three more to tell you about shortly.
It is now coming up to 19 minutes before midnight. Let's take a short break.
Accidents can happen, either on the road or at work. Mistakes can be made, either by a doctor or dentist. If you are injured, contact Advocates Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited. Their specialist lawyers can help and advise with professional and practical guidance, whatever your situation. Take the first step to resolution. Call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited on 677-888. Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited, your one-stop legal shop.
When you think of the ultimate contemporary kitchen, it's got to be German. German design, German manufacture, German appliances.
Sounds expensive? Not if you use Bespoke Solutions in Peel. With stylish German kitchens designed and installed at competitive prices, Bespoke Solutions will work to your budget to make the desirable affordable.
Call Jonathan for a no-obligation quotation on 803 040. Bespokesolutions.im. Your dreams, our passion.
They got your whole house in their hands.
And we now do scaffolding too.
DPM.
For scaffolding big or small.
DPM.
Professional, safe and smart.
DPM. We do it all at DPM.
We're the name you've grown to trust. Choose us for a professional scaffolding service at a fantastic price. All fully fitted by a friendly, experienced scaffolding team. Call DPM on 612000.
We do it all at DPM.
Whatever you plan to do, inside or out, Haldane Fisher have everything you need to do it with, including Marshall's paving slabs, long rake spar decorative coloured aggregate, Ronseal products, fence panels, and both hard and softwood Charlton's garden gates. Go with a trade go and get great products at fantastic prices with friendly expert advice and free all-island delivery. Haldane Fisher, Ramsey and Douglas.
Feel right at home with Haldane Fisher.
Aircon on, radio up, phone on charge. A lot of things drain your battery, and it could fail at any time. It's not just the winter months. Thankfully, Auto Electrical Centre are the biggest battery supplier on the island, with a huge variety in stock. And not just car batteries, also van, motorcycles, trucks, buses, mobility scooters, golf buggies, even alarms. So, when you need a battery, think Auto Electrical Centre, Whitehoe Douglas. Need advice? Phone Auto Electrical Centre on 628 123.
The Nation Station.
Yeah. Hello, welcome back to Manx Radio's Local Authority Election Special. Still waiting for that result in Peel. Getting lots of your thoughts on how local authority elections could be improved. Here's an interesting one. Completely agree on modernising the system. We are now living in a world that relies daily on electronic systems. There must be a middle ground to join the younger society who'd be happy to vote if given the means to do so. I do care and I'm listening tonight, but simply couldn't find time in my schedule today to pop down to the ballots. I genuinely believe that this will be the same for most people who are either working, have young children, or suffer from mobility issues. Radical reform is needed, and this would also in a way solve the issues of the public speaking out right that we need equality and democracy. How can we have a democratic and equal society if the means to vote is not provided to all?
Couldn't have said that better myself.
Was that you who texted in there, Phil?
No, it wasn't. but it is, I mean, that is has to be something that we sort out.
We can now go to Peel and Simon Clark. We have a result. Simon?
Yes, you join us in the Corran Hall in Peel, where the returning officer, Derek Sewell, is just preparing the sheet here now to do the read the results from the election here for the Commissioner's Appeal. And here's the returning officer, Derek Sewell.
As returning officer for Peel Town Commissioner's local authority elections held on the 28th of April 2016, I give public notice of the results. The total number of votes received was 1,405. This represents a 36% turnout of the electorate in Peel eligible to vote at this election. The total numbers of votes for each candidate was as follows. Benyon, 411. Cannon, 382. Convery, 592. Davidson, 782. Dyack, 451. Hannon, 799. Heath, 630. Jones, 814. Lace, 482. Mockton, 693. Spencer, 350. Willis, 388. I declare the following seven candidates are elected to serve on the Board of Peel Town Commissioners. Mr. Jones, Mrs. Hannon, Mr. Davidson, Mrs. Mockton, Mr. Heath, Mr. Convery and Mr. Lace. The number of rejected ballots were as follows. With no official mark, there were no rejected ballots. Voting for more candidates than there were vacancies, there were two rejected ballots. Not writing or voting for anybody on the ballot paper, there was one. And that concludes the declaration. Thank you very much.
There we go. Late into the evening here at Peel, but the result is there. 12 candidates there were for them, 7 seats. Let's nip over and get a live chat with the man who topped the poll, Alan Jones. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a humbling thing, really, but pleased to have got back in.
And there's been a lot of talk about the commissioners lately and their role, and is that one of the things that spurs you on into it, to try and change things?
You do like to try and change certain things. I mean, it's one of the most frustrating roles to have because you're handed by governments, diktat on lots of issues and various other, and lack of powers. Some of it's changing, and I think there's, in the next few years, there's going to be a lot of change for local authorities one way or another, and we have to be careful how that goes about.
Is Peel a particularly difficult place? It's got a lot of new housing and it's got a lot of heritage as well.
We've got one of the most wonderful communities you could ever have in the Isle of Man, so on. Wouldn't criticise Peel at all. I think it's great.
Yeah, and well done anyway, and top of the poll today.
Very well done. I'd just like to thank all of those who stood and made an election here, and also for the returning officer and his staff for the hard work they've done. It's been a cold and wet day, so thank you.
Well done. Let's get a chat with the youngest member who's managed to get in here, Ben Heath. Congratulations there. How does
Thanks
it feel
so much.
To be here?
Yeah, still settling in, really, just trying to make sense of it. But it's a great feeling, great to see so many people out today braving the weather. It's been a vicious day, but really good turnout here and nice to see.
This is your first time, of course, standing, I think, and Is it what you're imagining it would be?
Yeah, it's you never really know what to expect, really. First time doing it, but it's been a great experience. It's been lovely, as I say. We've got a great community here in Peel, and it's good to see so many of them out today. And you know they're fantastic at telling you exactly what they think. So there's been a good open dialogue, and it's been a really great experience actually.
And there's a few of you here that have been involved, and I've got businesses in Peel as well. And is that an important reason why you stand? Because you want to try and keep it here? Because a lot of places are being centralised, so to speak, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important for candidates to be invested in the area. You know, we've got businesses all over the Isle of Man, but we've been 20 years in Peel, so obviously I'm very invested from a business point of view. But, you know, mainly my family live here, my children grow up here, and that's really the main incentive for me to run this time, to be a voice for, you know, young families in Peel.
Oh, well done anyway, congratulations.
Thanks very much.
And we'll get a quick chat with Hazel Hannan. Congratulations, Hazel, on to the commissioners there, and
yes.
Bring a lot of experience, so don't take that the wrong way.
No, it's 38 years since I was elected to the commissioners.
Wow.
First time, yes. I must admit, I am so pleased that there's been an election, and I'd like to congratulate all the candidates, because they have fought a very good election and they've allowed the people to make a decision on who's going to represent Peel for the next 4 years, and I think that shouldn't be missed.
Yeah, of course 12 people standing, that just shows the interest that people have got, and everyone sort of living more or less in the village as well. Or the town.
The city, indeed. Yes. I mean, a reasonable turnout. I'd have liked more, but the day itself didn't help. Yes, I think Peel's looking good at the moment, and we've got a lot of work to do in Peel, and so it will be a difficult 4 years.
And of course, you've had experience at the Keys level as well. And how does that differ from the commissioner's side of things in your roles?
I think quite different. The commissioner's is not so intense. Being a member of the House of Keys takes an awful lot of work. You can be up lots of nights reading. And then you've got legislation to do, so it is different, but this is looking after Peel at a different level.
Right, congratulations anyway.
Thank you.
Right, have we got time for one more, have we? We'll try and get a quick word with Christine. You must be the longest serving member now, congratulations, get back in.
I'm absolutely thrilled to be able to continue serving Peel. And it's nice to welcome Hazel back, and it's so nice to have a new member in as well. So hopefully over the next 4 years the younger ones can prove themselves and I can sail off into my retirement.
Is that so encouraging? Everyone said that they're so delighted that 12 people actually took the bravery to stand in this election.
I'm thrilled that it went to an election the same as Hazel, and it has encouraged young people to come out, and it has shown Ben as a young person that maybe there is a place for these younger ones in politics, and it's so good to have him. Eddie Convery joining Peel Town Commissioners as well. Nice to have a good board, and I'm so pleased my fellow colleagues are also back in as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There we go. That concludes our live coverage, certainly, from the Corran Hall here in Peel, where although it's late in the evening, I'm sure there's a lot of satisfied people on the way home. That's it from Peel. Back to the studio.
Thanks very much, Simon. So that's it. All the results are in. We will reflect on them in just a moment.
Wouldn't your office benefit from a refit? You'll find some fresh inspiration from the office design experts in the new Descon catalogue out now. Get your free copy for great ideas on office space saving and storage, along with the latest office layouts. Descon will refit and improve any office to make the work environment a pleasant, efficient place to be. Just call Descon on 616939 for your free catalogue. Visit Descon on Facebook or at desconlimited.com.
At Chicken Hut, we're mad about chicken. Piri piri and fried chicken, delivery from noon, takeaway and eat in. With juicy meal deals, kebabs, burgers and vegetarian options including mezze, we have something for everyone at lunch and in the evening. Check Chicken Hut out on Facebook. Call 676-090 or text your order to 478023. Chicken Hut, Prospect Terrace, Douglas, where the chicken is really cheeky.
If you drive a Vauxhall, don't miss this great offer from Eurocars. As the island's authorised Vauxhall repair centre, Eurocars are giving away 12 months free roadside assistance if you book your Vauxhall in for a service before the 15th of May. So, don't delay. Book your Vauxhall service today. Visit Eurocars on Peel Road, Douglas, or call 611 700.
Manx Radio. Local focus.
Get ready for the summer with all your favourite brands at Tynwald Mills. Open 7 days a week. Update your wardrobe with the latest summer fashion and collect reward points on your Tynwald Mills reward card as you go. And when you've shopped till you drop, you can even earn reward points in our restaurant and cafe too. For great summer deals and special offers, have a rewarding summer shopping experience at Tynwald Mills.
Manx Radio. Local focus.
Isle of Man Railways.
Lovers of Indian food will be on top of the world when you come along to one of our popular Indian Hill Station themed dinners at Snaefell Summit Restaurant. Come along on the 6th or 7th of May with an authentic three-course Indian buffet and entertainment. Why not dress up and join in the fun too? To book, call the Welcome Centre on 662525 or visit rail.im.
Welcome back. You've been listening to Manx Radio's Local Authority Election Results Programme. All the results are in now, so just a quick roundup, Roger. Fairly positive evening, would you say?
I would think so, except that we still have this issue of who stands and why they stand. It'd be interesting, I think, to see now what, apart from those seats that are actually filled, what comes at the by-election. There's quite a few to go yet. We may well see quite a few names, and I would like to see quite a few people from the business community and other places coming into these boards. We may well see that.
Well, we've been joined in the studio by a number of guests throughout the evening. Thank you so much to all of you for being here. Minister Phil Gawne, if you could just sum up your aspirations, maybe looking ahead now. We've got a few by-elections to come, but generally all those seats filled. What does the future hold?
Yeah, well, I think there's some great opportunities for local government in the future, and we need to get all these people who I will congratulate this evening for going, putting their names forward, standing and being successful. I'd also thank all the people who have put their names forward and haven't been successful. But particularly, you know, we have been perhaps talking a little bit negatively this evening about, you would say apathy, we would say disillusionment.
There's a song there somewhere.
Yeah,
sure.
There is. But actually, 30-ish percent of the electorate has turned out to vote, and that in itself is a good thing. Well done to the people who have gone out to vote. That is encouraging. It's a shame we couldn't get the other 70% to turn out, and it's a shame that there weren't elections for every seat. But let's think of the positives. There's some really good people have been elected, and there's some great opportunities over the next 4 years to significantly shape the way in which we deliver local services at a local level.
Now, just the last three uncontested results. In Rushen, there were five candidates for five seats, with the sitting members Peter Gunn, Stanley Pilling, David Ratcliffe and Peter Vernon, with the new member Justin Young. In Port Erin, 6-9, sitting members Jerry Collister, Phil Crellin, Godfrey E.G., Steve George, Barbara Guy and Nick Watterson. There'll be three seats there advertised. And in Santon, five candidates for five seats, Norman Kelly, Anthony Oates, Neil Young, with new members Ian Burrell and Nicola Pemberton. So that's nine authorities filled without election, 13 with by-elections to come, and we've heard tonight that perhaps one or two of them have already been filled. And there we bring this Manx Radio election special covering the 2016 local authority general election to a close. Our thanks must go to the many people who've helped to make the programme possible, including the studio guests MHK Chris Thomas and Phil Gawne, former and present commissioners Alison Lynch, Michelle Edwin, Robert Mugden, Nigel Malpass, Kat Turner, David Talbot, Nigel Dobson and Ken Power, The reporters at the various camps were Tim Glover, Ed Oldham, Alex Bell, Howard Kane, Simon Clark and Bob Harrison. And our particular thanks must go to the returning officers for their cooperation. Marion Kenny and Jason Roberts were on duty in the newsroom. The engineering was by Bob Allison, Andrew Beasley, Ed Rickson and Matty Cunningham. And the studio producers were Ben Hartley, Alex Brindley and Mark Tarley. The overall producer was Catherine Nicholl. Anchoring the programme in the studio have been Beth Espy and James Davis, and I'm Roger Watterson. Thank you all for joining us, and on behalf of us all, good evening.
And there will be a full roundup of all the results on Monday tomorrow morning. Don't forget, you can also go to the Max Radio Facebook page and website to get a full breakdown of the results as well. But now it's coming up to midnight, time for the latest news.
Hate paying to park and spending more than you need on shopping? Iceland Chester Street. 2 hours free parking when you spend £25. And great prices on fresh, chilled and frozen and home living ranges.
Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Shaw Radio Vanin. This is Manx Radio.
The news at midnight. Fast am I. Good evening, good morning. I'm Marion Kenny. All the results from the local authority elections, island-wide 2016, are now in. Peel's came in the last half hour. It was the last local authority to declare. And Peel has seen a return to politics for a former town MHK. Hazel Hannan was one of the successful seven candidates who were voted onto the board out of a total of 12 would-be commissioners. She had been a commissioner before she was serving as Peel's House of Keys representative from 1986 to 2006, when she lost the seat to Tim Crookall. The other winners tonight were Edward Convery, Ian Davison, Benjamin Heath, Alan Jones, David Lace and Christine Mockton. Those who weren't elected to the board are Terence Bennion, Derek Cannon, Kenneth Diak, Leonard Spencer and Roger Willis. After the result was made, Hazel Hannan said she was delighted to be back in the political world.
I must admit, I am so pleased that there's been an election, and I'd like to congratulate all the candidates, because they have fought a very good election and they've allowed the people to make a decision on who's going to represent Peel for the next 4 years.
Yeah, of course, 12 people standing, that just shows the interest that people have got, and everyone sort of living more or less in the village as well, or the town.
The city, indeed. Yes. I think Peel's looking good at the moment, and we've got a lot of work to do in Peel, and so it will be a difficult 4 years.
Hazel Hannan, well, the first election result of the night has turned out to be a record-breaking result. The youngest candidate to stand during this year's local elections has been voted into the newly formed Garth Authority's Laxey ward. Liam Miller tallied 483 votes, well ahead of second place Julianne Pinson and Peter Kinnish in third. Fourth place Rosalind Bate is the only candidate not to be voted in, and she loses her place on the board. After the result, Liam, who took the day off school for election day, said he was delighted.
Very thrilled. Over the moon. Well, moving on with the future now, you know, young blood in. So let's see what we can do with some young ideas and where we can move forward with them. So it's the first ever, I think, 18-year-old, but also the first time we're moving forward into the Garth Joint Initiative. So new faces and, you know, new ideas all around, really.
In Castletown, voters held faith with a rump of previous commissioners and voted in two new representatives. Just over 40% of electors cast their vote in the ancient capital. Those elected were Jimmy Barrow, James Cubbon, Colin Leather, Jerry Ludford Brooks, Richard McAleer, David Parnell and Carol Quine. The New Look board, which has slimmed down from 9 to 7 members, welcomes newcomer Jimmy Cubbon, who topped the poll by more than 100 votes. Tim Glover reflected on a new start for Castletown after the result was declared.
So a round of applause, but that really is a big signal for change in Castletown here, because Dorothy Elizabeth Farragher, one of the commissioners seeking re-election, has been not voted in, as has James Douglas Quine. So if you take in that we had four commissioners not standing for re-election, Alwyn Collister, Kevin Weir, Andrew Thomas and Peter Hill Heaton, Add to that Dorothy Farragher and James Douglas Quine. That is six of the previous board of nine who aren't in. So there are, therefore, quite a lot of new blood on the Castletown commissioners.
Some of that new blood is Jimmy Cubbins. He said the people had delivered a vote for change in Castletown.
Castletown has had its low years, and there's a lot of negativity around the town, and I'm really excited. I think there's a few things about to happen. The likes of Costa coming in is the kickstart Castletown needs, and I want to see these streets busy again. I want to see this town busy. I want to see events on in that square. The square's great. It's had its critics. I think it's great. It's clean. It's fresh. Let's get Castletown started again.
Patrick's first local authority election in 20 years saw drama tonight with a recount required. There was the slimmest of winning margins. Fifth place Geoffrey Gelling beat Timothy Neal, the only unsuccessful candidate, by a single vote. The other winners tonight were Robert Anderson, Roger Banks-Jones, Adrian Christian and Richard Jones. Afterwards, Adrian Christian told Howard Kane it had been an exciting runoff.
Yeah, it's been quite fun, actually. I think it's about 20 years since Patrick's had an election, so I think it's been good to come out and get the electorate stirred up and get the candidates together. And I think it's been a good evening.
And can you remember such a close-run thing down the bottom? There was that recount. It was quite tense for a while.
It was. I've never known anything that tense. It was quite exciting for Patrick.
The lowest turnouts in the island's elections have come in Douglas, where two wards were voting today. Both were declared together. In Hills Ward, victory went to council leader David Christian, who topped the poll by a massive margin, well ahead of his nearest rival, Lib Van's Claire Wells, with sitting councillor Carol Malarkey in third place. Derek Lavery in fourth place missed out. 25.8% of the district cast their votes. In Victoria Ward, sitting councillors David Ashford and Raina Chattle retained their places in the council chamber, with newcomer Kevin Oliphant-Smith in third place, pipping challenger Falk Horning. After David Ashford successfully defended his seat in Victoria, which saw less than 14% of people turning out to vote, he said there are a number of factors he thinks deterred people heading to polling stations.
Yeah, I think there's a multitude of factors this time. You've mentioned two of them there. The weather today has been absolutely horrendous. Personally, I'd like to thank anyone who came out anywhere across the island to vote today, because looking out of the window, I'm pretty certain there were some people who thought twice. Like you say, the House of Keys elections are coming up in September, and I think a lot of people will be keeping their powder dry as well for those. Also, to be honest, I found going around the doors, certainly that a lot of people weren't upset about local issues so much. They tended to be more upset about national issues.
Port St Mary was the second to declare the makeup of its new board of commissioners. The nine winning candidates are Richard Ashcroft, Alan Grace, Michelle Haywood, Robert Hurst, Christopher Kinley, Alexander Merchant, Andrew Fair, Ian Skelly and Bernadette Williams. Former Commissioner Rebecca Sinfield was the disappointed candidate. Now, in other news away from the local elections, the Celtic League says it hopes to find out what safety procedures are in place to protect boats in the Irish Sea from Royal Navy submarines. This week, the Marine Accident Investigation Branch published an interim report into an incident involving a trawler and a sub off the Calf of Man last year. Bernard Moffat from the League says incidents of submerged vehicles catching fishing nets had declined since the end of the Cold War, but he's now written to the UK's Armed Forces Minister asking whether it still has protocols in place to reduce risks. And a primary school in Douglas is celebrating its 100th anniversary this week and is inviting former staff and pupils to relive their memories. Henry Bloom Noble School, formerly Fairfield Junior and Ballacloan Infant Schools, has opened its archives with a display of old school records and old photographs. Visitors have been welcomed between 1 and 3 p.m. each afternoon this week to see how their old school is faring. You still have one afternoon left Friday to visit. Manx Radio's Howard Kane, a former pupil himself, met one woman who has fond memories.
My year down here.
This is my year as well.
Oh, right. So where are you?
There I am, doing country dancing.
Oh, goodness me.
And that's actually what we spend our entire time doing, country dancing, knitting, sewing, handwriting. Right.
And what sort of memories do you have of the school? Good memories?
Oh, lots of good memories. Yeah, particularly, I have to say, when it was a girls' school.
Oh, before it went co-ed again?
We didn't want boys to join us, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's when they all came down from Domain Road.
Exactly. We didn't, yes. Yeah. No, lots of happy memories. Yeah.
And that's our last news bulletin this election night. There will be plenty more and analysis and results, commentary and discussion of all that has unfolded tonight in Mandate tomorrow from 7:30 with James Davis. I wish you a very good morning.